Hello and welcome to the program, UFO Warning. In this episode, we're talking about some unsolved cattle mutilations from the 1990s. That's correct, unsolved cattle mutilations from the 1990s. This first article we're looking at concerns Gene Barton. The title says, Gene Barton, a look back at cattle mutilation in the 90s. And this is from RedBluffDailyNews.com. I'll try to put the links at the Ko-Fi and the Locals website. It has a picture here at the top of the page. It says, Jeff Hemphill photographs victim number one on Papoose Meadows, Laysan National Forest. It's got a picture of this poor cow. It's been mutilated there. At this stage of the game, it's quite bloated, but you can see the classic stripping away the flesh there along the jaws of the animal. The article says dated May 16th, 2015 by Red Bluff Daily News. So this is an older article, you know, over 9 years. It begins by saying, someone or something likes my efforts at gardening. Back in February, I had a gallon pot with a blooming geranium near the house, and when I returned from Texas, it was gone. In March, someone had dug up all my blooming yellow primroses and put them in a bucket. When I returned in the evening from the cattlewomen meeting, next morning the bucket and flowers were gone. The other day, my new roll-up of 50-foot Costco garden hose and 25-foot soaker hose disappeared. They had been by the tubs of flowers in the yard. If it had been mutilated cattle, I would have known what was happening because Bill and I lost 32 head in 10 years, starting in October 1995. We have had dead cattle in previous years, but always assumed the coyotes had been there before we found the bodies. My Christmas letter of October 1995. On 15th, Bill and I rode Eagle Lake Shore and found cows near Gallatin Beach. Drove cows up Papoose Creek and alongside the outside of Papoose Meadow fence and put them in a corral, left horses in corral, and made a trip to Red Bluff with heifers. Morning of 16th, we made a round trip to 101 Ranch to get some cows that had come to Dye Creek Ranch. Arrived at Papoose at 1:30. Elwin and Emily were there with a portable loading chute. Bill helped set up the chute, and I took the horses out of the meadow to get a drink of water after being in a dry corral. There was a dead cow out by the old fence rails, directly east of the corral. She was laying on her right side, and her left ear was cut off. Looked closer, and her teats were cut off, flat with udder, but no blood dripping. Her left cheek was removed, and it was a clean jawbone with no flesh or blood on bone. The tongue was completely gone. The rectum and vulva was gone in a large oval. She had been dead a couple of days because she was bloated and flies were buzzing. Now imagine this poor cow. They cut off the teats, you know, the little teats there where the baby sucks the milk out of the mom. You have to think this is a very blood-rich environment. I can't imagine you could cut that part of the anatomy off and there would not have been profuse bleeding. Goes on and says, Bill brought out the pickup and rolled her over. It was a 4-year-old black and white cow with number brand 135, ours. These cows are expensive. Went to Marina and called sheriff office, J.D. Hemphill, the brand inspector, and Joyce Coakley at USFS. So they're running these things on federal land, and of course the cattle have to be branded, and they keep track of all that stuff. So they're doing the right thing. They're going through the authorities. They're reporting this cattle mutilation, you know, trying to come to some resolution of what's happened with this thing. Within a half hour, Deputy Mike Schmidt, the deputy at Eagle Lake, arrived. His first words when he saw the cow was, "The same thing, cut away the same thing. I wish I could find a fresh one." Seems that he has seen a couple this spring. It is common in Big Valley and Ravendale area. He took some pictures and I took some pictures. Then he asked if that was the only one we lost. We said we hadn't looked for more. So he left and we saddled the horses and rode checking the cows. Over in the tall grass, a damp ground near the old cross fence and in the southeast corner of Papoose, we found a Hereford cow. Dead, lying on right side, with left ear missing, tongue removed, cut up upper and lower left lips, and the entire udder was missing. You could see the stomach and no blood. The rectum and vulva were an oval. There were no human footprints in the damp soil. No car tracks on either side of fence. Bill used his horse and pulled her over, and it was 749, an 8-year-old cow. Both cows had calved within the last 2 or 3 weeks because I noted their bull calves on October 2nd and when we rode checking cattle. We found their calves with the other cattle over by the spring. Next morning, Bill and I stopped at Eagle Lake Ranger District and saw the acting chief, Joyce Randy, and told them about the two cows, but no one was interested in seeing it or sending out the forest investigator. He was out of town. So that's the first bit of resistance. They call the local police, and the local sheriff sends a deputy over. He recognizes the MO on this thing. He can tell, wow, I've seen cows like this before. They've got these same ritualistic cuts on them, and there's no blood. But when they kick it up the next level and try to speak to the federal authorities about this, the federal agents, because these cattle are being run on federal land, they don't want to hear about it. Nope. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Don't talk about it. Goes on, it says, decided to do a letter to the editor because this wasn't rustling for meat. Every publication except California Cattlemen and Sacramento Bee published my letter. It was nationwide in Western Livestock Journal, Livestock Market Digest, Nevada Rancher, and Northern California newspapers. Faxed a copy of letter to Billy Roney, and after Wally read it, he phoned Bill. Billy sent it to other media, and I was amazed at her results. Mother heard it on KPA radio at 7 a.m. on the 18th. Billy did a talk show with Bruce Session in the afternoon, too. Art Bell, Las Vegas late-night talk show host, talked about it on an affiliate, KOH Reno, on Wednesday night to Thursday morning. A man in Susanville heard it. I had to ask, who is Art Bell? We heard the program one early morning as she drove to the mountains, and it's nationwide. Of course, Art Bell, we all know famous Art Bell. He's been passed away for a few years now at the Coast to Coast program. Channel 12 in Chico and Debbie Cobb, assignment director, sent Mike Donnelly to Papoose to do a story. Well, Mike did a beautiful job filming the cows in soft focus with buzzing flies. We saw the 5:30 p.m. October 19, 1995 news on a 6-inch screen powered by a generator at Rodney's Clover Valley Summer Place. And then it just kind of ends there abruptly, but I want to get into this next article about Gene Barton and their experience with these cattle mutilations. I mean, this stuff is just, it's just unbelievable. Now, this next article goes into this further, and these 1990 cattle mutilations, 1995, 96, they never have been solved. Now, this article here is from imtribune.com. It says, aliens, ranchers can only speculate on what's happening to their cattle. And this is by Rocky Barker of the Post Register. It says July 1st, 1996. So this would have been written a little bit after, I think, what we just went through. Idaho Falls, running cattle on the western range is getting harder every year. With drought, low prices, wolves, bureaucrats, and environmentalists, it's a wonder ranchers can still make a living. Then there are the aliens. It says, don't laugh, rancher Gene Barton isn't anyway. And that's the guy we just talked about. Barton in Red Bluff, California, is one of hundreds of ranchers who have found their cattle dead and mutilated over the last 25 years. The phenomena is a reoccurring theme in the New West that logic hasn't been able to totally explain. Honestly, I don't think they've explained it at all. Barton's involvement with the mutilations began October 16, 1995, when she and her husband, Bill, were checking their 60 head of cattle running on the Lassus National Forest in Northern California. I think maybe that they'd actually had mutilated cattle before that time period. What they found were two dead cows with their sex organs cored out. The ears were gone, and on one, a section of hide had been peeled away, exposing the teeth and jaw. They were so straight and smooth, Barton said of the cuts. There was no blood dripping. This is something we've asked many times. You know, how can one of these cows, I think they have like over 10 gallons of blood in them, how can these things be cut up this way, just, I mean, literally butchered, and not leave any blood traces around? It's just, there's no explanation for it. So both cows had been in excellent health and had recently calved. When their veterinarian, Richard Meinhardt, examined the pair, he could find no exact cause of death. Both had lost significant blood, but there was none around their carcasses. He concluded the animals may have been tranquilized and bloodletted after first compromised by weakness. Now, I don't know. Is he speaking in code here? I mean, who's going to be out here in the middle of this national forest tranquilizing random cows and somehow letting their blood out without dropping any of it on the ground? The Barton case appears to be the classic cattle mutilation. The evidence does not suggest predators, so who or what did it? Your guess is as good as mine, Barton said. In December, rancher Tim Howard lost a pregnant cow to a similar fate 100 miles north in Klamath Falls, Oregon. A calf was found mutilated in Paisley, Oregon in April. Barton knows all the stories because she decided to speak out. She knows some people will think she's a kook, but the president of the California Cattle Movement thinks this issue is too important to ignore. Now, this takes me back to that article that she'd written talking about her gardening stuff being taken. I don't know. It's almost as if maybe this lady's been targeted somewhat. You know, we hear sometimes when people speak out about their UFO experiences or these cattle mutilation or abduction experiences, sometimes it almost seems as if they're being targeted on some level, where they're being harassed, you know, personal property taken, harassing phone calls, stalking, that sort of thing. It almost seems like she might fall into that category. Goes on and says, livestock publications don't tell ranchers this is going on, she said. Most ranchers who have had it happen to them don't want to bother with the media. So you have two things working there. First off, you have the news media, even these livestock publications, which I'm sure all own, for the most part at least, by big corporations. They're following marching orders. They're just ignoring this stuff, or they're debunking it, trying to debunk it. And then on the other hand, you have the ranchers maybe feel a little squeamish about the whole thing. They don't want to draw attention to themselves. I don't know if they feel bad that they weren't able to protect their cattle, or if they don't want to deal with the reality of what's happening here, just what. But a lot of them, it seems like, don't even report this stuff. It says, livestock publications don't tell ranchers this is going on, she said. Most ranchers who have had it happen to them don't want to bother with the media. Cattle mutilations have been attributed to everything from satanic cults to the long-haired hippies down the road. The phenomena started getting attention in the 1970s when a rash of mutilations all over the West caused law enforcement officials to hold a big conclave in St. Anthony. The governor of Colorado issued a statement decrying the mutilations. Yeah, a lot of good that did. Since then, another cycle of reports erupts about every 5 or 6 years. The last one was in eastern Idaho in 1989-90, with more than 30 cases of mutilations reported from Bear Lake to Rigby. Now, I remember this article here, several years old. Boise native Linda Moulton Howe has become somewhat of an expert on the phenomena. She has been collecting reports on mysterious animal killings since the 1970s, when she was a reporter for a Denver television station. In her book, An Alien Harvest, she says extraterrestrial aliens are responsible and that the federal government knows it. You know, I would have to really kind of agree with that, just as on a hunch at least. I've talked to dozens of eyewitnesses who have seen silver discs landing in their fields, she said in a telephone interview from her home in Jameson, Pennsylvania. Ranchers have told her about non-human creatures carrying away their cattle. Most people will find it hard to believe such stories without the proof that never seems to turn up. And many cases of mutilation can be attributed to predators, mostly coyotes, who take a taste for the softer flesh of cattle, often missing from the mutilated stock. Now, they've done something here which I think is pretty sketchy, and they're just making some generalizations in many cases. They don't cite any studies. They don't give us any specific facts. They just throw this in there as if they're the authority figure and we're supposed to believe them. Many cases can be attributed to predators, mostly coyotes. I don't know. I live in, you know, a rural area. People have cows. I've never heard of coyotes ever bringing down a full-grown cow. I mean, maybe a calf. Remember, now, I suppose the coyotes get a little bigger in the West, but throughout most of the country, a coyote maybe weighs 35 pounds, 40 pounds tops. Whereas a wolf can weigh, well, the ones that aren't the hybrids that were released by the government, a normal wolf would weigh about maybe 140, 150 pounds. I think some of these big boys that they bred and released up in Minnesota are up over 200 pounds. That's a topic for another show. But I just imagine this cow weighs 1,000 pounds. So it's hard to imagine even 4 or 5 of these coyotes attacking a 1,000-pound cow and bringing it down. It's just silliness, actually. I mean, a coyote is actually a lot smaller than, say, a husky or a German shepherd or something like that. These coyotes are going to predate on the animals that are easiest for them to kill. They're a lot more likely to eat your cat or your little dog than they are a cow. And that's just the facts. Now, it goes on here. It says, in 1975-76, Idaho Department of Fish and Game Warden Joe Curie examined several cattle in Fremont County that were supposed to have been mutilated. He concluded they were killed by predators. It doesn't say what predators. This is 75 and 76. I don't think the wolves have even been reintroduced to a lot of these places. So what's the magic predator that's doing all this damage? Quote, I personally didn't see anything that looked like it was mutilated by a human being, Curry said. Well, he's got a point. I don't think it was mutilated by a human being either. Rigby veterinarian Farron Kinghorn responded to several reports of mutilated animals in 1990. He came to a similar conclusion. The ones I saw there could be a logical explanation, he said, but I don't want to leave the impression there aren't mutilations. I'm sure there have been some. Now talk about trying to talk in circles and cover your rear end. That's what I call that right there. And that leaves the mystery that keeps stories like this alive. It keeps Gene Barton watching the western skies and telling anyone who will listen to pay attention. Well, what keeps people watching, I would tell this author, this reporter, is that cattle can't keep showing up mutilated. They keep showing up with these strange incisions. Nowhere in this article did the writer, I think, fairly or adequately address the fact that these things have had these incisions, like having their teats cut off of their udders, an area that's blood rich, but yet when you find the cow who was supposedly, as they imagine, killed right there in that piece of grass, but they have no explanation why there's no blood on the ground. Now, if you've ever done any kind of hunting, if you've ever butchered animals, if you've ever walked past a butcher shop, you will know that when animals are dismembered or cut apart, it involves blood. There's such a thing as blood splatter. It doesn't matter if it's human or animal. When you start going to cutting on things like this, there's going to be blood splattered all over the place. But you notice they never specifically address that. Not one time. They speak in generalities because they're using generalities to try to debunk the facts that are right in front of you. You're looking at a mutilated cattle that appears to have been ritualistically mutilated. But more important than that, this animal, which supposedly was killed right there in its tracks and then had all these pieces of flesh cut off of it, there's not a single drop of blood on the ground. And even the experts admit that with most of these cases, large amounts of blood have been evacuated from the body of the animal, almost like an embalmer or something. It's crazy. I mean, think about it. This animal's got, I think, I'll have to look it up again, but I know it's like over 10 gallons of blood in it, say. Well, you would think that, just imagine 2 5-gallon buckets of blood there. Wouldn't you think that one of those drops would have fell on the ground? And secondly, if this animal's had, say, over half or three-quarter of its blood evacuated from its body, then where's that blood at? It's not on the ground. Are we to believe that it just evaporated? And if it did evaporate, then where's the residue from the evaporated blood? So this doesn't look like a crime scene. This looks like an animal has been taken somewhere, a crime has been committed, and then what we have is just the deposit of this body laid back down, because there's never any sign of a struggle, any sign of predators around the critter. I mean, you don't have to be too smart to watch a Discovery Channel or some nature show and watch a wolf predation where these wolves just rip these animals apart. I mean, when you look at, say, an elk scene where elk has been attacked and killed by wolves, when those wolves are done with that elk, it's a mess. I mean, you got body parts laying all over the place. You got blood splattered everywhere. Same thing like in Africa where these big lions attack. And it would be no different if you had, say, 100 coyotes attacked one of these 1,000-pound cows. So what you see consistently happen in these reports is that they never address the facts with specifics. They address the facts with generalities, and frequently those generalities are based on a false premise, like this notion that packs of coyotes are running around attacking cattle. Well, I can tell you from living in a rural environment, I've never one time heard of a full-grown cow being brought down by coyote. If that were to happen, it would make the news. Now I've heard of calves being predated by coyote, probably just the sick ones, because like I said, coyote, 35 pounds. I mean, I think that's I've known guys have hunted these things, and they tell me the biggest one they ever came across is 35 pounds. Let's just assume the ones out west are twice that size. They're still not big enough to take down a 1,000-pound animal. And if they did, there would be a struggle. And if there was a struggle where these things were biting and attacking these things, there would be blood splatter. We don't have any of that. We have these cattle, clear back in the 90s, where she's talking about, they just ride up, there's the tall grass. Oh, look over there. There's a cow lying there dead. No sign of how it happened. Where's the blood? There is no blood. A crime scene with multiple lacerations and incisions, but no blood. Think about it. These are the sorts of things that never get addressed in these articles. They've never been addressed by the federal government or even by the local investigators. We're all told to look the other way. It's understandable to me why someone like Linda Moulton Howe would say, wow, there's so much evidence being ignored here that there has to be collusion between the people that are supposed to be investigating this and the people that are, or the entities that are committing these crimes. But even a lot of people in the UFO community don't like to talk about it, because you have a large segment of the UFO community that sees these alien entities as only one thing, and that's good. Kind of like Dr. Stephen Greer. All the goodies are alien ET, and all the baddies are some government program. Well, that's a big generalization that I'm not sure is safe to make right now. But that's what I like about going back into these old cases. They've really stood up the test of time. So here we have cattle mutilations that happened clear back in October of 1995. Here we are almost 30 years later, still not solved. But the debunkers are using the same lines to lie to us, to confuse us, and distract us today as they were 30 years ago. Until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.